Here we go, another week of our study group. And I always think about the people who listen to the recordings one after the other, and I always start the recording the same way. Hello, everyone, welcome, or whatever it is that I say. And it probably sounds funny, one after the other, but welcome. I'm glad you all are here. And as we settle in together, if you'd like to join me, allowing your eyes to close. And let's just begin with taking a few deep breaths. As you breathe in nice and deeply and release that breath, just symbolically with each exhale, just releasing the day. Releasing what you accomplished, releasing what you didn't accomplish, releasing events of the day, stressors, non-stressors, all of it. Just settling into this moment. For it's in this moment where the Holy Spirit abides. Deep in your heart, connecting with your willingness. Maybe it's easy to access, maybe it feels really buried. And if you feel like you can't connect with your willingness, seeing if you can connect with your willingness to be willing. And let's offer collectively our willingness to the Holy Spirit. We are joined in a common goal. Our interests are the same. And we give our willingness collectively to the Holy Spirit. Recognizing that in our joining, just this simple act of collectively joining, we're shortening time, releasing fear, and becoming glad, and not only for ourselves, but for everything out there, every living thing in the world. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And again, just taking a few deep, mindful breaths. Slowing that breath down, softening the belly, feeling our shoulders relax. As we come together to our perception of this time and place. Thank you, everyone. All right, so let's dive into the Manual for Teachers, part one, Who Are God's Teachers? Although I'm reading from the CE, wherever we end, I will share the page references for the other editions, if it's not like right at the beginning of a heading. I am assuming that the editing is fairly much the same throughout the editions, but if you do notice slight differences in words, if you're reading from a different edition, that would be why. All good. So let's dive in. Who are God's teachers? A teacher of God is anyone who chooses to be one. His qualifications consist solely on this. Somehow, somewhere, he made a deliberate choice in which he did not see his interests as apart from someone else's. Once he has done that, his road is established and his direction is sure. One decision has ensured the direction he will take from then on. A light has entered the darkness. It may be a single light, but it is enough. He has entered an agreement with God, even if he does not yet believe in him. He has become a bringer of salvation. He has become a teacher of God. I'll read one more paragraph, then we'll pause. They come from all over the world. They come from all religions and from no religion. They are the ones who have answered. The call is universal. It goes on all the time and everywhere. It calls for teachers to speak for it and redeem the world. Many hear it, and that it is a capital I, as the Holy Spirit. Many hear the call, many hear it, but few will answer. But it is all a matter of time. Everyone will answer in the end, but the end can be a long, long way off. It is because of this that the plan of the teachers was established. Their function is to save time. Each one begins as a single light, but with the call at its center, it is a light that cannot be limited. And each one saves 1,000 years of time as the world judges it. To the call itself, time has no meaning. Thank goodness to the call itself, time has no meaning. Because elsewhere in the course, it's in, I think it's called What is the Meaning of the Last Judgment or something like that. We'll get to it. It's in the manual. It says in that section that just as the separation occurred over millions of years, the last judgment, the ending of the dream will occur over a similarly long period of time. So thank goodness that to the call itself, time has no meaning. Otherwise, it would seem like it's taken a long time. So there's a lot of really great sentences in these first two paragraphs. And I'll just say a few words. And then if anybody wants to share or ask a question, I'll open it up for that in just a moment. So a teacher of God is anyone who chooses to be one. And the qualification is simply there has been a point in which that person did not see his interests as apart from someone else's. And if we can even just pause with that sentence for a moment and feel into it, and I'm sure you can recognize, maybe not a moment that you had, but just a feeling that you can tap into of seeing, of not seeing your interests as separate from someone else's, seeing your interests as the same as somebody else. And that's all that's required to be a teacher of God. Once we do that, once there's that it's a form of joining, not seeing our interests as separate. Once that's done, the road is established and our direction is sure. So we are now on a path of awakening to that which is already in our minds that we just have forgotten about. A light has entered the darkness. It may be a single light, but it is enough. And we've entered an agreement with God, even if we don't yet believe in him. So I think of just the story of Helen and Bill and how they joined when they decided there's got to be a better way in the high conflict faculty meetings that they were involved in. They weren't consciously calling on God, but they lost sight of their separate interests and wanted to join in this better way. And that's all it takes. And obviously we know what happened from there. This second paragraph is so significant to me because I know I can remember early on when I found the course, I was so excited about it and I wanted everybody to know about it. And I wanted to, you know, convert everyone and make my whole family do it because like, this was the way. This is so clearly saying something different, that God's teachers come from all over the world. They come from all religions and from no religion. We'll read more about this idea that, you know, the course is just one pathway of many, but one does not need to be a course student to hear the call, to answer the call, and to be a light worker in the world, to, you know, be a teacher of God. So the call is universal. This God vibration goes out to everyone, and we all have the capability of hearing it. Some maybe might bury it, but those of us who have heard it and have stepped up to answer it, I believe that's all of us here right now, or we wouldn't be here right now. And it does say too that everyone will answer in the end, but like it's, I said already, the end can be a long way off. And because of this, it's the plan of teachers that has been established. So in other words, our, as it says, our function is to save time. So as we perform miracles, as we express love in a world that desperately needs it, as we allow our minds to be shifted, we are collapsing time. We are collapsing matter and literally experiences that we otherwise maybe would have needed to go through to learn, we don't need to anymore. So miracles literally shorten time. And it says elsewhere, it says it at the end of this paragraph, each one saves 1,000 years of time as the world judges it. So we're collapsing time by the thousands of years by doing this miracle working work, by expressing love. I'll pause there. Anybody have any questions or comments so far? Hi, Deidre. And I'm just checking out the chat. All good. All right, let's keep reading. So, I hear somebody.
Corinne, I'm sorry, I got in late.
Oh, no problem, hi.
Can you tell me where we are?
We are in the Manual for Teachers, Part 1, and we've just read the first two paragraphs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Payden. Oh, all right, let's read paragraph number 3. There is a course for every teacher of God. The form of the course varies greatly. So do the particular teaching aids involved. But the content of the course never changes. Its central theme is always, God's Son is guiltless, and in his innocence is his salvation. It can be taught by actions or thought, in words or soundlessly, in any language or in no language, in any place or time or manner. It does not matter who the teacher was before he heard the call. He has become a savior by his answering. He has seen someone else as himself. He has therefore found his own salvation and the salvation of the world. In his rebirth is the world reborn. I'll pause here before we move on to the last paragraph in this section. So the form of the course varies greatly, but the content never changes. The content is always, God's Son is guiltless and his innocence is his salvation. It all comes back to guiltlessness, recognizing our complete innocence. And again, I ask us to just pause for a moment and drop into this idea that there is no guilt in you. And maybe saying that to yourself a few times, there is no guilt in me, and seeing what comes up. If there's a, you know, a little objection voice that's coming up. And if there's no guilt in you, that means there's no guilt in anyone else out there either. And immediately we might be shown some things that we can take to the Holy Spirit. But I want to highlight here, I love how it says it can be taught by actions or thought, in words or soundlessly, in any language or in no language, in any place or time or manner. So this idea, this recognition, and again, this comes through this openness to allow these miracle impulses, these loving bubbles to kind of bubble up from deep in our being. As we allow that to happen, we have these glimpses, these recognition, these momentary recognitions of our innocence and the innocence of everyone. And it doesn't mean that we need to do anything necessarily. We might be called to, but it can happen through thought, as it says, in words or soundlessly, in any language or no language. So this is where what goes through our mind, whether we are thinking and allowing loving thoughts to come through us about, let's say, somebody who challenges us in our life, or if we're fixated on judgment and condemnation about that person who maybe is pressing our buttons, this speaks to me that those thoughts have effects. They have repercussions. That other person, I mean, I feel like on some level, the other person knows, you know, somebody, you can tell when somebody's like upset with you or is unresolved about something, we sense it in some way. And so our thoughts are very powerful, and we can, again, by turning to the Holy Spirit and practicing the Course's form of forgiveness, it can be just something that happens quietly. It doesn't mean we need to stay in a relationship that's harmful or hurtful. This can happen just between us and the Holy Spirit, affecting that relationship perhaps from afar. Any comments or questions so far? Stephen. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just got here. My first time here.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Always good to be in a class for a course in miracles. Your comments after the first couple paragraph confused me. And it's probably because I'm new and the expressions are different in the way that we're doing a course. It's a highly individual course. And so maybe I've missed something along the way. But you said we collapse matter and we collapse time. And you said we do miracles. The course says in a few, it seems to imply that we seem to do miracles in a few places, but we collapse matter and we collapse time. The way I read it, there's no matter to collapse. There's no time to change in any way. And there's no one to do that. Could you comment on that, please?
Sure, sure. Thank you, Stephen. So when I say we, I don't mean like Corinne or Stephen. I'm talking about something much, much deeper in us, and it's the Holy Spirit through us. So I don't mean any of us has these powers of ourselves, because the construct of Corinne, all of our identifications are of the ego. What you're saying is, yes, the absolute truth. There is no time. There is no matter, but we don't know that. This is very real to us. We've made it very real. I wake up, I say this all the time. I wake up every morning identified as Corinne, more Corinne than than spirit. So the course is meeting us where we are. It's when I say that we perform miracles, what I mean by that is the course's primary definition. You know, there's two definitions of miracle. It's an expression of love. And it's that shift in perception from fear to love. That's the course refers to both. And it refers to expressions of love at a higher percentage. Like it's more frequently referred to, referring to miracles as expressions of love. So performing miracles are acts of expressing love. And as we do that, as we allow those miracle impulses to come up through us, and again, I'm not talking like Corinne, it's the Holy Spirit through each of us. As we allow those loving impulses, which changes our perception, to come through us, let's say in a relationship where there's some difficulty, as I allow that love to come up and it comes out in whatever way it's guided to come out, it awakens something in that other person. The Holy Spirit, I mean, is always there. The Holy Spirit's not asleep. It's just our awareness of it that you know, is what's tuned down. as we allow these expressions of love to flow, something awakens in the other, and it reinforces that same thing in us. And there's a joining there. And where the ego can only exist in separation. So as we join and don't see separate interests from one another, that joining is literally this dream that's over. The Course says we're mentally reviewing that which has already gone by. So as we are mentally reviewing that which is over already, because it's all over and done with, but we have made it very real for ourselves. As we experience these joinings, these holy instants, you know, that which has already gone by, it's as if the playing out of that, which, as it says here, can take a long, long, long time, it takes a little less and a little less. So it brings the awareness of eternity closer to all of our awareness. So that's what I mean by collapsing. It's that awareness of eternity is brought closer, which it's here now. But again, we don't know that. Most of us walking around in this world are not aware of that right now. So does that help a little bit, Stephen?
Thank you for your clarification. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for the question. I appreciate it. Oh, anyone else? Okay. Let's read the last paragraph of this first part. This is a manual for a special curriculum intended for teachers of a special form of the Universal Course. There are many thousands of other forms, all with the same outcome. They merely save time. Yet it is time alone that winds on wearily, and the world is very tired now. It is old and worn and without hope. There was never a question of outcome, for what can change the will of God? But time, with its illusions of change and death, wears out the world and all things in it. Yet time has an ending, and it is this, that the teachers of God are appointed to bring about, for time is in their hands. Such was their choice, and it is given them. So this is a manual for one form of the curriculum, which is A Course in Miracles. As it says, there are many thousands of other forms, all with the same outcome. So whatever the religion is, whatever the form of spirituality, whatever the method of healing may be that someone is called to do, teach, whatever, they all have the same outcome. The Course in particular speaks a lot, again, about saving time. And I don't think any of us would argue with the world being tired and winding on wearily and the hopelessness that can often be felt when we're looking still at all the things, you know, that are happening in the world that cause so much pain and suffering. And yet it says there was never a question of outcome, for what can change the will of God? So despite all the appearances that we see out there in which we may be called to be a part of in terms of help and healing, what can change the will of God? Nothing can change the will of God. None of these circumstances can change the will of God, because the truth is true and will always, always be true. And I'll just highlight, time has an ending. It says the very end, time has an ending, and it is this that the teachers of God are appointed to bring about, for time is in their hands. So again, this goes back to just what we were just speaking about, this idea of miracles collapsing time, where the end point, when we're done reviewing that which has gone by, because we recognize it's all over, that end point, although it's already over, each miracle, each time we express love and allow that love to come through us, and our perception changes, we see with love instead of with fear, that brings that awareness of eternity a bit closer even though it's here already. All right, so we read the first one. Yay! We can keep going, but before we do that, I want to see. Thank you, Wendy. anybody have any comments or questions? Hi, Pam.
Hi. Hi. I do. So we're teaching all the time, whether we know it or not. So as students here in the course, do we have the intention of loving and being kind, but if we're not, I don't know how to ask this. If we're not like specifically, we have the intention, we need to do more than the intention, but are we still teachers of the course if we're not out there, you know?
If you're not out there, like, I don't know. Are you saying that if we're not out there actually teaching the course, are we still teachers of the course? Is that part of your question?
No. So we're teaching mm-hmm. by being, mm-hmm. by, you know, in our everyday lives, we're teaching whether we're talking course or not. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
absolutely.
So how do we teach? Or maybe are we collapsing time with our love, even though we're not like teachers? I don't know. Maybe I'm not clear on my question because I don't know my question.
Well, that's okay. You prompted some thoughts, so I'll share, and maybe this will either help you clarify, you know, your question, or maybe this will just be helpful. But I mean, yes. So regardless of, I have a couple of thoughts coming up. So as you are 100% correct that we are teaching all the time, no matter what. Does it mean we're going to get it perfectly or get it right all the time? Absolutely not. As the course says, the happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. So making mistakes is, you know, going to happen. It's just part of our growth and learning. And that's, however, we have the opportunity to choose again. So when we recognize that we've made a mistake, what do? We have the Holy Spirit. You know, we can turn to the Holy Spirit. So all the expressions of love, it says somewhere in the course that all expressions of love are maximal. Now, then I also think about like the course's teachings on special love versus like, you know, a holy encounter. And special love is, you know, reserved for just some, not all. Maybe just we love these bodies, but not those bodies. And if all expressions of love are maximal, there still has to be something, you know, good that happens with that. And yet in our journey of becoming even more loving, as we shed these layers of fear that we've all, you know, that we've got blocking our awareness of love's presence, as we shed these layers of fear, the way that we love what started out as special love, that grows and deepens, and we find that we can, you know, have experiences where we look out even on strangers and experience, you know, love, experience like loving a stranger, just like the same way that you love a family member. And I know that sounds maybe kind of out there and impossible, but it is possible. It's absolutely possible. So just yes to what you said about teaching all the time. And you know, our intentions, it's interesting, like our intentions definitely matter. And at the same time, like I think of that expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Like at the same time, we need to also be able to recognize what we bring into a relationship, the impact on other people, you know, that with what we bring. So I think it says in the course somewhere, this is a course quote, trust not your good intentions, for they are not enough, but trust implicitly the Holy Spirit within you. It's a quote like that. So trust not your good intentions, they are not enough, but trust the Holy Spirit in you. That's the bottom line, I think, of that quote. And that's what we're being taught to rely on, is the Holy Spirit in us. I don't know, Corinne of herself doesn't know how to love, you know, I, a little maybe, but this love that we're learning is something, it says somewhere in the course, like it far exceeds any experience that we've had in the world. Like the love of God is beyond anything we've ever experienced here. And that's what we are opening to. So that awareness and those glimpses that might come in of that like supreme love, again, it comes closer to our awareness as we allow these layers of fear to fall away by looking at what's coming up with the Holy Spirit. So Pam, I don't know, that was just rambling, but did that help at all?
You did. The good intentions are not enough. Perfect. Whatever that quote was, that's perfect. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Pam. Steve.
I just had an idea that I don't know. It kind of feels true. So I guess if we're centered in our willingness to be a teacher or to be available or to be helpful, mm-hmm. I think that the Holy Spirit can use that willingness in, you know, in its own way too. So, mm-hmm. So we could be a teacher of God 24/7, just through our willingness. And that doesn't mean that we won't, you know, interact with people and do things in a physical way, when we're required to, but anyway, just want to throw that idea out there.
It's a beautiful idea. Thank you, Dave. I totally resonate with that, that when we're centered in our willingness to be helpful, the Holy Spirit will 100% use that in whatever way the Holy Spirit deems, you know, to be of greatest helpfulness to all. So thank you. It's spot on. Anybody else? Thank you for that quote, Nicole. All expressions of love are maximal. It's embedded in miracle principle number three.
Hi, Corinne.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
How's everybody? I'm wonderful. Thanks.
Good.
This whole thing of, you know, from what I'm picking up from the manual of teachers so far, takes me back to a book I read by Richard Bach called Illusions. And it's a really fascinating book, but there was a quote in there that I've held on to for probably about 30 years now. And that was that we teach best what we need to learn the most. And I think that's mentioned in the manual somewhere, mm-hmm. something similar to that. But an experience I had the other day in the supermarket was so far out of the box. And I felt like it was a teaching and learning experience all at the same time, because there was a guy in the market, obviously of Polynesian descent, and he had a t-shirt on. It had the Heineken logo on it, but it said Hawaii or something on it, or Hawaiian something. And me being born in the islands, I said to him, I said, I love your shirt. And this was like so far out of the box for me. And we went on and had this wonderful conversation. And I know that I went away from that feeling really, really good inside, and he did too. And I think that was just a 3D experience of teaching, learning, giving, receiving, and walking away with peace of mind and joy in my heart. And it took you know, being willing to step outside the box, or maybe even let the Holy Spirit, you know, guide me to say, okay, make that comment. You know, you like the guy's shirt. It struck you. It struck me very, you know, I chuckled really loud inside. And I shared that with this guy. And it was just really an amazing experience. And I think to me, that's some of the real life experiences that I'm giving and receiving out of this whole Course in Miracles. And just grateful to be here and thanking you for what you do for all of us.
Oh, I thank you for sharing. Steve, that's a beautiful example of how God, the Holy Spirit will bring everyone who is to meet will meet. Like, it's all happened already. It's all prearranged. It says, and I can't remember where, if it's in the manual or wherever, it's probably, I just turned the page and we're going to get to it next week. I just want to read this real quick. This is it. This is so funny that I turned the page and it's right here.
No accidents. No accidents.
The simplest level of teaching appears to be quite superficial. It consists of what seem to be very casual encounters. A chance meeting of two apparent strangers in an elevator. A child who is not looking where he is going, running into an adult by accident. Two students who happen to walk home together. These are not chance happenings. Each of them has the potential for becoming a teaching learning situation. Those are your words exactly. Perhaps the seeming strangers in the elevator will smile to one another. Perhaps the adult will not scold the child for bumping into him. Perhaps students will become friends. Even at the level of the most casual encounter, it is possible for two people to lose sight of separate interests, if only for a moment. That moment will be enough. Salvation has come. I have goosebumps. Also, because you're reminding me in your story of a recent experience that I had where I won't tell you this amazing, all the details about this amazing deal that I got and this fleece that I wanted from L.L. Bean, because it was like the perfect color and it was just the perfect fleecy warmth inside. Anyway, I was in the store and I was in the second level of this store looking around and they didn't have my size. And I just figured, you know, rather than just walk out, which is what I normally would do, I felt prompted to go ask. I saw a gentleman on that floor, like in the back. So I approached him and I was like, any chance you have, you know, my size in the back? And he went and he looked. Anyway, long story short, first of all, he was like, are you a teacher? You get a teacher's discount. Do you have this coupon? Here's a coupon. Like he was helping me out. Our conversation, we talked about COVID. He was telling me about how in the pandemic with being home so much, he got back into drawing. He was doing these pictures and reawakening this artistic side of himself. It was such a joyous conversation. I left feeling like I wanted to like invite him over for Christmas dinner. Like it was just so, the form was not necessarily that it sounded like we lost our separate interests, but the feeling was that we lost separate interests. There was a joining on a level where both of us were just joyous to chat for a little bit and then to go on, you know, our separate ways. And so I'm sharing that because it sounds like the exact type of experience that you had in the store, yeah. The same feeling, yeah, that you walked away with.
And I look at that as an example of the miracle of, you know, love in action, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, being active in our lives.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. What a blessing.
And when I said earlier about the paths that we take, you know, there's 1,000 different paths. And I've always believed that. And no matter what the differences are, the ultimate goal is to return to the oneness of our Creator, you know, and how we get there really doesn't matter. And the more we learn, the more we pick up now, we just collapse that time so that we don't have to spend another 50 lifetimes learning and awakening process, or what I feel I've been going through in the last couple of years, you know, has saved me thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And of course, that in turn reflects on what I see around me and what, you know, I see in my brothers and my sisters, you know.
Yeah.
When I see the light in you, I see the light in me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, absolutely.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. That was awesome. That was really, really beautiful, and a beautiful reminder just again, how joining happens. And so this is where it's so important for us to remember that we can't screw up. If we start hearing those ego thoughts of, I should be farther along than I am, I shouldn't be feeling this way anymore, I shouldn't still be struggling with this, I shouldn't dot, dot, dot. This so clearly says in what we just read that once we've made that decision, once we've had that moment of joining with another person, it says his road is established and his direction is sure. And I know in my own experience, those sounded like really nice words for a long time. Like, oh, they're comforting, they're nice words. But in my lived experience, I don't feel like my direction is so sure. And yet now, with experiences like Steve just shared, with the one that I just shared, with, and those seem so simple, but with experiences like that, it just strengthens my conviction in the truth of this, that our road is established and the direction is sure. Everything that's coming up in our lives are literally coming up for the healing. We're being given opportunities to heal, to bring it to the Holy Spirit, to look at it with the Holy Spirit, to forgive it, to express love. I know I've shared with you all before that there were times in my past when those miracle impulses, those expressions of love, you know, I'd feel the urge to pick up the phone and call someone, a family member, let's say, and that loving impulse will be there to call. But then I squash it down. I'm like, oh no, if I call them, you know, if I pick up the phone, then it's going to go this way and it's not going to go well. And so I squash that miracle impulse. The other day, I felt that miracle impulse and I was in the midst of a challenging conversation with a family member, but I felt that miracle impulse and I picked up the phone to call and it ended up being a beautiful conversation. So my point is, everything's orchestrated. And if we can just really let those words sink in, that our road is established and direction is sure, remembering too that the Course says that doubt will come and go, but we're exactly where we need to be right now for our growth and learning. And we need be anxious over nothing, that it is all unfolding and our job is to hold steady. To hold steady in the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's all. Thanks, Steve. Oh, anyone else?
Thank you for that pep talk, by the way.
Oh, good. I like pep talks. I needed to hear it. So, as you teach, you learn, as we've been hearing. I know I've said this already too, but it was Earl Purdy who said, I love teaching what I need to learn. And that I think Steve, you said it. We teach best what we need to learn the most. You said you shared that quote, right? Yeah. That echoes that Course teaching.
Yeah,
for sure.
Ironically, the name of that book was Illusions. But
cool.
And this whole world is illusion, right? So
right.
I think he was touched by the Holy Spirit when he wrote that book as well.
Sure sounds like it. Sure sounds like, yeah, it. Was it what year did it come out? Do you know?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Late 70s.
Okay.
80s.
So before probably maybe around the Course time when it came out, but
Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah.
Mm.
It's really good.
That's awesome. That's okay. Awesome. Thank
That's
you.
I always thought that should be a movie, Steve. I always thought Illusions should be a movie. I thought it would have made a great movie.
Mm.
And there's the in my opinion, the most wonderful part of the book is where he handwrites the story about the river bottom creatures. Wow, what an allegory. It's great, great symbolism there. So
that's, yeah, cool. That's,
I think,
cool.
You can find it online if you're,
I'll have to check it out. Yeah.
If you're interested. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Dave. Lovely. Anybody else? This is good stuff. Why don't we start reading the next section? I feel no pressure to stay within the confines of a section. I know it's neat and tidy when we do it that way, but I'm not really neat and tidy. Oh, I kind of am, but we're going to read some more. So number two, who are their pupils? So we just read who are God's teachers, and now we're reading who are their pupils. Certain pupils have been assigned to each of God's teachers, and they will begin to look for him as soon as he has answered the call. They were chosen for him because the form of the universal curriculum that he will best, that he will teach is best for them in view of their level of understanding. His pupils have actually been waiting for him, for his coming is certain. Again, it is only a matter of time. Once he has chosen to fulfill his role, they are ready to fulfill theirs. Time waits on his choice, but not whom he will serve. When he is ready to learn, the opportunities to teach will be provided for him. I'm going to read one more paragraph. In order to understand the teaching, learning, plan of salvation, it is necessary to grasp the concept of time, which the Course sets forth. Atonement corrects illusions, not the truth. Therefore, it corrects what never was. Further, the plan for this correction was established and completed simultaneously, for the will of God is entirely apart from time. Thank goodness. So is all reality, being of him. The instant the idea of separation entered the mind of God's Son, in that same instant was God's answer given. And answer is capital A, that's referring to the Holy Spirit. In time, this happened very long ago. In reality, it never happened at all. Let me pause there. So the moment that we answer the call to the call, capital C call, those who are chosen for us to be in a teaching learning situation with show up. When we're ready to learn, the opportunities to teach will be provided for him. I love how it says that. I also love the second paragraph where it says atonement corrects illusions, not the truth. That makes so much sense because again, the truth is true. It's unchangeable. It's the illusions that are in the way of us knowing that truth. And so that's where the atonement comes in to correct those illusions. It corrects what never was. So again, this idea that we're mentally reviewing that which has already gone by. It says, further, the plan for this correction was established and completed simultaneously, for the will of God is entirely apart from time. So the instant that we had the idea of separation enter, that same instant, the Holy Spirit was given as the answer. So that moment when we seemingly separated from God, which never actually happened, that moment that we seemingly did so, it was corrected. And that's why this is all over and done with. But again, we don't know that because we've made it very, very real for ourselves, which is why we need the Holy Spirit. And I'll speak for myself. It's why I need the Course. So I'll pause there. Any comments or questions so far? Anything coming up for anybody? Oh, thank you for putting the book in the chat, Dave.
I have a comment.
Yes, Cheryl.
When you're reading the part about, so if we accept the atonement, then the correction is established and completed simultaneously. Right away, I thought, well, then there's absolutely no reason for guilt. Mm. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Because I think that's something that we humans get hung up on, even when we're on a spiritual path, or maybe even more so because we're really trying to connect with God and that the spirit within us. And so guilt tends to come up more so than if you're just living your life not caring about your spiritual well-being. And then I'm going to take this a little bit further. And then it also made me think about how you were talking about that there's like, what did you say, 1,000 different paths? And
I think so.
I was raised Catholic. Uh-huh. And I remember we would go to confession, and anybody who was raised Catholic knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You go to confession and then the priest absolves you of your sins because you confess. And I remember when I was a kid, I was like oddly very spiritual as a child. I went to church almost every day and nobody else in my family did. And I remember thinking, well, how do you get absolved of your sins immediately? That's crazy. Like, you know, I always felt like that it was too good to be true. But then this thing where it just popped into my head, there's really no reason for guilt. It made me think of that. Like, yeah, you're absolved immediately because you acknowledged the error. And so you're asking, you know, basically as a child going to confession, I was asking for the atonement. And now here I am as an adult on this path, and I'm just doing it a different way. Uh-huh. Like college level, rather than, you know, when I was a kid, I was in elementary school spirituality.
Uh-huh. Oh, Cheryl, what a beautiful insight. What a beautiful insight. Wow. That's really powerful. That's really powerful. How your insight, I feel the energy behind it. Like, there's absolutely no reason for guilt. Like, this, if this was all corrected the moment we thought of it, that there's absolutely no reason for guilt. And I felt something behind your words. It's also so funny, gosh, with confession, how beautiful that, like, yes, guilt can just be absolved then that quickly, and that fitting in exactly with the insight. Since I'm pausing, I may as well just say it. You gave me a little flashback of going to confession once as a child. And I think I had said, you know, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. It's been 3 years or 4 years or something. It was a lot, maybe it wasn't that long. I was a kid. And I remember him getting so mad at me for taking so long to come in. But to your point, there's no reason for guilt. It's all undone and instant. I really appreciate what you shared, Cheryl. It's really powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Really powerful. You know, anybody else have anything? Hi, Pam.
That just blew me away. We went to confession not because we were bad, but to be told that we're good, to be absolved. I always thought it was because we were bad and that we were going to get in trouble. That is so beautiful. It's
what a shift.
Yeah, thank you.
That's isn't that a beautiful shift for those of us with a Catholic background who may have been hanging on to judgments in some way, shape, or form, that just totally turns it around. Cheryl, you just brought about a big healing.
Can I just say that as a kid, it was like I wanted to hold myself guilty. Like, I didn't want to believe that I was absolved of my sins. I was like, yeah, right, sure. I wanted to hold myself. And even as an adult, I tell myself, you know, I accept the atonement for my error, and still I have to catch myself with that tendency of that temptation of how the guilt is like this seductive thing that it wants to pull you in and say, yeah, believe that you're guilty. Believe me, you're guilty. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to, you know, so I have to still stay on it and be conscious and say, no, I'm not going to accept that guilt. I'm accepting the atonement, not the guilt.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Wow is right. Wow is right. That was so powerful, Cheryl. I'm going to rewind and listen again because I want to, like, keep feeling what you're saying. It's so good. That when you were just talking about guilt, I got this image of this like tar. Like, I the image just came to mind. Somebody asked me once where my sister lives in Los Angeles, and I was like, near the La Brea tar pits. And they were like, this person was like, in all of Los Angeles, that's what you remember, like the tar pits. I'm like, that's the coolest thing in Los Angeles, are these tar pits. So the guilt to me, like, has that feeling of a tar pit. Like, once you go in, it wants to suck you down. Like it just wants to, you know, to draw you in, but it's a matter of saying no and recognizing again that it's not even there. We're squeaky clean. we're innocent. Mm. Wow. Well, I'm feeling like that's a good note to end on. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to share? All right. Well, I love you all. Thank you so much, as always, for your heartfelt shares and this just process of being together to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and to these teachings. And I love you all. Thank you so much. I'll see you all next week. Bye, everyone. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.